My name's Izzy. Welcome to Lowercase Sober Part 2. If you're new to the podcast, I define lowercase sober personally as meaning I'm sober, but not capital S sober. I don't drink, but I'm not in recovery or rehab in the traditional sense, and I'm not an addict. I think this distinction is important, and I'll make it at the top of every episode. In part 1 of Lowercase Sober, I talked about my relationship to alcohol, especially being in my 20s. In part 2, I'm interviewing other people about their relationship to alcohol. Some guests are like me, they don't drink. Some are actively reevaluating their relationship to alcohol. Other guests still drink and may have a largely positive personal relationship to alcohol. I'll definitely let you know the general nature of the discussion to follow in the introduction of each episode. Each guest in part 2 was asked some of the questions I asked myself when I was developing part 1, and I'm really excited to share their thoughts with you. Talking more about drinking and alcohol, starting more discussions about our relationship to drinking culture is one of the goals of this podcast. And although I truly still don't really know what I'm doing, I hope this helps us towards that goal. One last exciting announcement before we launch into today's episode. Now you can support Lowercase Sober on Patreon. If you like the podcast and want access to exclusive content while supporting us, head to patreon.com/lowercasesober and choose the tier and perks that work for you. The tiers are priced so it's just like you're buying me a cup of coffee, or two or three, a month. I'm using the monthly support to do two things, pay production costs, and to pay people in the future for being a part of episodes, specifically people who, due to systemic racism and or discrimination, lack fair access to recovery resources. Now, back to our regularly scheduled programming. This episode, our discussion, is with someone who doesn't currently drink. Without further ado, our guest today is...
Hi, my name is Taylor. My pronouns are they, them. I am in Boise, Idaho. I'm a sound designer, theater artist, writer, a student, and I have a day job.
What identifier do you use for your relationship to alcohol?
I usually say that I am sober from alcohol. Sometimes I just say sober. I kind of tend to adjust it depending on the person that I'm talking to and ask, like, if they're someone that will ask if I use other substances. So I kind of judge it on, like, who I'm talking to, how I know this person. Because, like, a lot of people are like, oh, well, do you smoke weed? And I'll be like, yeah. So it really depends on kind of how I feel like people are going to respond. And, like, of course, I have people that I know that I am still going to smoke, and I say, well, yeah, but I'm sober from alcohol, and they're like, oh, okay. So it changes.
What was the last drink you had?
The last drink I had was a few big sips of an acquaintance's watermelon AMF on this last New Year's Eve. I went out to a club with a bunch of friends and wasn't sure if I was going to drink. I hadn't been drinking for a couple months before that and decided I wanted to because it was a holiday and a special occasion. And I still kind of wish I hadn't.
Cool, cool, cool. What is AMF?
It's an adios motherfucker is the drink. And I straight up don't even know what's in it. It's something that my friends order and it's like super, I'm going to Google it. Because I don't even know. Like, so it's vodka gin. Oh my God. I can't believe that all my friends drink this. It's vodka, gin, rum, tequila. I don't know how to say it, but it's like, it's the like blue stuff. It's like
curacao.
Yeah. And then sour and 7-Up. And then they add like watermelon flavoring into it. So it's just like a fucking. It's just full of alcohol. And that's like what one of my best friends and then like a couple of my old coworkers would always drink. And like they're good, but you get like really lit off of them really fast.
Yeah, everybody in my friend group used to drink Long Island iced teas, mm-hmm. which when I first started drinking them, I didn't understand what was in them. Really? Yeah. I would just order them because everybody else was.
Yeah. No, I have the theater festival that Dana runs, people would get Long Islands and like just pass them around. And so people would get like four of them, would all split them. And I was like, how am I this drunk? Like it would always, and I would never drink that much of them because I was usually driving home. So I would get like a little sip and I'd be like, crap, now I have to like wait for like 30 minutes till I can drive someone home. Like, I'm so surprised that I was someone who would drink something that I didn't know what was in it.
I also am so surprised that that was a part of my life too, where I was like, I don't know what I'm putting in my body right now. And I like didn't care.
And even like that night, like it was New Year's Eve, and I was out with like a group of friends I knew, and I had never met this guy before, but I knew his girlfriend, and like we had mutual friends. Like my partner and him had a lot of mutual friends, so I was like, oh, not worried about it. But I'd never met him before, and I was like, yeah, I'll drink your drink, like whatever.
You're just reminding me of all this stuff. One time I was at a party in college and somebody just handed me like a bottle
Oh
and I just drank out of it and I didn't look at it. I just like dr just drank out of like a stranger and I was like, yeah, like who was I?
God. Yeah, I did like the same thing though. My first college party, I went to a cast party for Pirates of Penzance, and I was not even a part of the show. One of my friends, who was like the assistant stage manager, made me go with her because we were like the only two freshmen that we knew were going to go. And she was like, well, I don't want to be like at this party with all these upperclassmen. And so we went and we had like made Jello shots and brought them. And we were the only ones who had any. And I remember like I drank something else. Like I had someone mix me something with 7-Up, and I didn't even like see them pour it. Like I don't remember that at all. And then someone else gave me a bottle. And all I remember of it was that it was pink, but it was banana flavored and it was awful. The only time I've ever been hungover from drinking was the next morning. And I threw up so many times.
Oh my God.
And I still have no idea what I drank. And I like my friend picked me up. I knew like I'm the people whose house I was at, I like knew and trusted. But they were both super drunk, and like I didn't know a ton of people there. Like we played spin the bottle. Like I let people like give me drinks, and I didn't know what was in them. And it's just like so crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
I'm also saying wow because I have so many similar stories.
Yeah, and that's the thing is it's like that's not out of the ordinary. Like everyone I know has this almost everyone I know has a situation like that. Like I have friends who like didn't really party in college, and like they don't really have situations like that, but everyone has those like when you first kind of start drinking, like that's what it's like. You're kind of just like, well, I don't know what I'm doing, so I'll let like whoever I'm with kind of like lead me. And that I feel like that can put you in such dangerous situations, and you don't really even realize it because you don't know how to like keep yourself safe in those situations where you're so new to drinking.
Yeah, because you just like literally just don't know.
You don't know. Like I remember on my 21st birthday, it was awful because everyone was like, well, where do you want to go? What do you want to do? And I was like, I literally don't know. Like I'm out with you guys because you're all older than me, and like I trust you, and I don't know what to do. And that's how I felt like I had to just be okay with everything because people would be like, oh, well, you don't know where you want to go. And I was like, well, no, like I've literally never done it before. I haven't been allowed to go out because I was like the youngest of my high school friends. So I just had to kind of like pretend I knew what I was doing.
Next question. Sure, let's do
Yeah.
it. What is your current relationship with alcohol?
As of today, I am 91 days sober from alcohol. I don't like the way that drinking makes me feel in a lot of different ways. I feel like drinking ties into a lot of issues that I have with gender dysphoria. When I drink, it makes me feel really like girly and like feminine, and sometimes that's okay, and sometimes I hate that feeling. So it's super complicated for me. I'm not a girl, so when I act girly, I have like something in my head that's like, is this okay? Do I like how this feels? And I'm not out as non-binary to everyone. I don't really like the idea of coming out. I think that that is something that I don't think everyone should have to do. But at the same time, because I'm not out to like family or coworkers, it makes me kind of want to drink. And wanting to drink to distract myself is really scary to me. Like, I don't like to be around my friends when they're drinking as much. No, I just kind of try to steer away from alcohol in as many situations as I can.
You mentioned not liking being around your friends when they're drinking. I similarly feel the same way, similarly.
Think it's situational, but just as like a general thing, like I'd prefer not to.
It's weird because it's not that I don't like my friends if they're drinking. It's that like there's so much weird like pressure and like expectations that get caught up in like the moment. Like my roommates both drink and they drink like I wouldn't say like pretty heavily, but they drink like often, you know? And sometimes I find myself getting really annoyed at them for drinking in my apartment, but like it's not that I have a problem with them drinking. It's just that now my life doesn't involve alcohol, and then suddenly it's just like in my apartment all the time.
It's that situation where like I don't know, and I guess I don't want to like put words in your mouth, but like this is what I how I feel with it is like if my friends are drinking, I feel like they will want me to drink and they're not going to pressure me into it. And then just like situationally, I know it would be easier for everyone if I drank so that there is no like uncomfortable like oh, I'm going to drink, is that okay with you? And it's like of course like you shouldn't have to ask me, but like I understand why you are. And it creates all these new dynamics to like previous friendships. Like one of my best friends, we've been friends for 17 years. We have not hung out as much since I have not been drinking because she goes out a lot more than I do. And I know that I could go out with her, but it would probably make us both so uncomfortable.
Like my best friend, who's also one of my roommates, we hang out so much less now that I don't drink because she is somebody who just goes out and parties and goes to clubs and stuff. And
Exactly.
I like love dancing and I love going to clubs to like dance, but I can't seem to break through that expectation that if I'm not drinking, I won't enjoy it. And so people just stopped inviting me places.
I think that's kind of how I feel. And I know that she's been distant to a lot of people, not just me, but I can't help but think that that's part of it. Me and a couple other, like one of my other friends who also, she's not drinking, but she's drinking a lot less. And I think it's just, oh, well, we're in different places in our life. Even though we're not, we're just doing things differently. So I don't know. I think, and I know that like we used to go out together a ton. So if I'm not gonna be drinking, do I still want to go out? And then instead of asking, it's kind of just like, oh, just a lot of assumptions, I guess. Yeah, and I know you've kind of talked about that in like your previous episodes, but I feel like if people just talked about it and didn't like skirt around it, everyone would be so much happier.
1000%. Yes. It's literally like opening up the doors of communication can solve so many things.
But it's at the same time, because I remember when I was listening to your podcast, I was like newly like kind of figuring out where I wanted to be in like that so the sober world. And so like hearing you talk about it and hearing you talk about how like, oh, people like don't ask you like what you like how you feel or like if you still want to go out or stuff. Like they just kind of stop talking to you. And I remember thinking like, oh my God, like that's so true. But at the same time, like it's so true. And like I feel like people just kind of like stop talking to you and like don't invite you out. But at the same time, it's so hard to bring it up to people and be like, hey, I feel like you've stopped inviting me out since I stopped drinking, because then they're gonna feel like it's like an attack on them. It's something that I still have not figured out how to navigate at all.
I mean, same. The biggest way I've been able to open up that conversation with people is by starting a podcast about
Yeah.
it.
Well, because when they listen to it and they're like, oh shit, like I'm doing that. Like you're truly like you're just airing it out, and people are like, oh shit, like they have noticed that I haven't invited them out or whatever. Like I should text them. Just you have to ask. I don't know. And it's like if you don't ask and you're like tiptoeing around it, then it's like it's just so obvious. There's a line between being like trying to be sensitive and trying to be like, oh, well, maybe it's something they don't want to talk about. And also being like, hey, I am kind of ignoring my friend, you know?
It comes up so much also in other like kind of like big life change situations. Like if you lose somebody or if you go through a breakup, often people will assume how you would like to heal from it or how you would like to react to it. And they'll decide for you if you wanted to go to events or not, or if you wanted to be invited to things, because they think that you'll be like, they'll think it'd be better for you if you just like stayed home.
That's not what I want. Like, I don't want to be alone. I'm sad about like whatever this thing that's happening is, you know? Like, damn. that's truly something I feel like I've been trying to work on, is just like asking people like what they want or what they need. Like what, like I literally today have a friend who is going through, like they're grieving. And I was like, what do you need? Like, do you just want to talk? Like, can we, like, obviously we're going through a pandemic and at Idaho where we have like a stay at home order. So I was like, do you want to come and like sit in my backyard and like talk across from me? Like we can be like 12 feet apart. Like, what do you need? And I'm just like in the past have definitely been someone who like makes assumptions. I'm like, oh, you need this. And like, this is what I would do if I was in your shoes. But like, totally, like you just have to be like, we're not the same. We've been through so many different things. What do you want in this situation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're very good at being a guest on a podcast, by the way.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
What's your best memory associated with drinking?
One of my best memories associated with drinking is this very vivid memory of going out with three of my best friends. We were all single. I was newly so. I went through a really weird breakup. And it was like, I think it was like a month before my birthday. We went out to like our favorite club and we were all dancing to Whitney Houston's I Wanna Dance With Somebody, which is like my favorite song to dance to. It's so, so fun. I think I don't have Snapchat anymore, but I had a Snapchat video of like the three of us dancing. And they were like three of my friends that were from different friend groups too. And we were all just like out and it was so, so fun. I think that was almost a couple years ago now. One of my worst memories associated with drinking, 2 years ago, one of my best friends and I had a joint birthday party at my house. We're exactly 2 weeks apart. So we decided to just party together. And we all went out afterwards. We went downtown and ended up going back to some guy's house with one of our other friends. There were three guys and three girls. We like kind of got paired up and it was really weird. And one of the guys that I was like ended up kind of being paired off with that I didn't want to be, he was like 19. It was really weird. So he like went to his room and like went to bed. And then like my two friends and the two guys that they were with started kind of like doing their own thing. So I was like, I'm gonna leave. So I left and I was like planning to get an Uber, but Ubers were like really expensive because it was like 4 a.m. at that point. So I walked like a ways. I walked like almost 2 miles on my way to my house from this guy's apartment and then ended up getting an Uber for like a lot less money. And it was really awful. It was super isolating and really weird. And it is still like probably one of the worst birthdays I've had. Like birthday parties. It was a really bad birthday party. It was really interesting. And like looking back on it, like I wish that I just like had been like, hey, I need someone to call me an Uber. Or like I need someone to like go home with me. Cause I'm someone who's like very afraid of like Ubers and Lyfts. Like ride sharing is like terrifying to me. So I don't know. I wish I hadn't gotten as drunk as I did. And I wish I hadn't like agreed to go to some guy's apartment. And yeah, it was just a weird, scary night.
I feel like all of my responses are me relating with another story from my own life, but it's just what's happening.
The fact that it's happening to both of us is just like, it's nice in a way.
Yeah. But yeah, no, like the most alone I've ever felt in my entire life was one night. It was in college. And I had gone to a party and done Edward 40 hands.
Oh, yep.
And I was with the theater company that I was in at the time. It was like a cast party. I got too drunk, obviously, because I'm 5'2" and it was 2:40s. I got too drunk and two of my friends from the theater company, I thought they were my friends, walked me back to my dorm room. And then left me there, like, throwing up in my garbage can and, like, just left me. Like, didn't make sure the door was locked, just, like, in my room. I didn't have a roommate at the time either, so I was, like, really alone. And it was, like, terrifying.
I cannot even imagine that. I don't think I've had a situation where I've, like, and that night that I was talking about, I, like, by the time I was walking home, like, I wasn't drunk anymore. Mm-hmm. But drunk me had just gotten me into this situation that I then was like left with. But that's that's so different. Like to be like, it would have been better if those people had left you at the party that you were at where there were people. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I'm someone who like rarely is drunk or sick or whatever, like alone. I've always had roommates or like lived with a partner or something. And I just cannot imagine being left alone like that. It's horrible.
No, it's awful. And it's like the only times in my life that I've ever felt that alone have been times that I've been drinking, which is like you said, that's probably like the worst birthday that you've ever had, right? Like, that's the worst party I've ever been to. Like, it's just like unequivocally, like, that's it. All right, now to shift gears completely here.
This is like the funniest drinking story I have. It's one of my favorites. And it's, other people might not even think it's funny. I think it's hilarious. But it was probably almost exactly a year and a half ago. I went out with some friends. We went to a bar that is like, it's such an Idaho bar, I feel like. And it's a lot of young people go there. It's still hip, but it's very Idaho. And so we went out there, we were drinking, and my like high school crush shows up with a guy that I also knew from high school. And I was with one of my friends I was like friends with in high school, and then a friend from like college. So I was like, oh my God, like that's this guy. And I'm not going to say his name. I don't think it's likely he'll listen to this, but I'm still not going to say his name. But I was like, oh my God, like that's him. And she had a huge crush on the other guy. So we were like, perfect. Let's talk to them. So I like waved at him, and I never would have had that confidence sober. Like there's absolutely no way. So I waved at him and they came over, and I was like shocked that happened, because I was like, wasn't sure if he was going to remember me. And he came up and he was like, hey, like, how have you been? And then like the other guy, like we all like said hello to each other. I introduced them to my friend from college. We all like talked for a minute, and then like they went off to go get their drinks, and we're like, okay, well, we're gonna go like dance for a little bit, and then we'll like hang out and maybe we'll talk to them more. And we are all like hanging out. We go over, my like high school friend goes off to talk to the guy that she had a crush on. My college friend was like, hey, that guy you like is sitting at a table by himself. I'm gonna go dance. And if when I'm done dancing, you haven't gone over and sat with him, I'm gonna go flirt with him. And I was like, okay, cool, great, like competition, I love competition, I'm gonna go flirt with him. So I like go over and I ask if I can sit down, and again, like, this is something I would never ever do sober. I'm still shocked I did any of this. But I like go over and we're like sitting there and talking, and I'd never really had like a full conversation with him before. Like, I think we had like classes together every year of high school, but we never really talked. We just very much knew who each other was, because my high school wasn't huge. Boise itself is like small. Like, you know so many people if you live in Boise. You know everyone's one person away. So we're just like talking. He had just graduated from, or like was just about to graduate from Boise State. So we were talking about school, like what our plans were, stuff like that. And he was pretty drunk, like very drunk, and I was moderately drunk and very nervous, and I think that he was nervous too. I think that we were both very anxious people in general, like in high school and throughout. But we like were about to go start playing pool, and then it was last call. So he turns to me and is like, hey, can I give you my number, and we'll play, like, we can play pool another night. And I literally was like, oh my God, like, I did it, perfect. Like, this was like a dream come true. Like, high school me was swooning. So I get his number, and then we all like kind of go home. I texted him like the next night, because I think that was Friday. So I texted him Saturday and was like, hey, like, I'm not gonna go out tonight, but like, if you go out next week, let me know. And he didn't text me back for like a week and a half, and then he was like, hey, like, sorry, I like haven't been going out lately. And that was kind of it. And I was like, oh, that's fine, like, if you do end up going out soon, like, let me know and I'll totally meet you out, like, just like trying to flirt, trying to go get a drink. And he just never responded, which was fine. I was like, you know what, that's probably all I needed. Like, I really just needed to get to flirt with this kid one time. And now he lives in Seattle and is in med school. So he's living his life. And then a couple of months later, I met my now fiance on Tinder. So it worked out.
Amazing.
Yeah. A very fun story. Like, 15-year-old me was very, very happy with how that turned out. So I think that's a good one.
Now shifting gears again, I might change the order of these. Next
Oh my gosh. So my scariest drinking story was right before my freshman year of high school. So I had literally just turned 14 and I had like also just gotten back from literally Girl Scout camp. I went to Girl Scout camp as a counselor in training and then came back and one of my best friends took me to a high school party because there was like a boy she knew who was 2 years older than us that was throwing the party. And she was like, great, we'll go. Like, we'll figure out like how high school is. And I never went to another party like this in high school. So it like didn't prepare me for anything. But we went to the party. We both drank a lot. We were kind of both pressured into drinking right when we got there, which looking back on it is terrifying. I also smoked weed for the first time at that party. I'd been with my siblings when they had smoked because they're both older than me, but I'd never actually smoked before. So I was kind of stoned. I was really drunk. My friend ended up going into a locked bedroom with the boy whose party it was, and I was left alone with like 10, 15 people I did not know. And no one really spoke to me. I was kind of by myself the whole time, and it was really weird, and there was like a lot going on in my head. So I ended up like, I locked myself in the bathroom for a while, and then like I kind of just like laid on the couch and pretend to sleep that was like upstairs kind of away from people until the morning. And then my friend's sister ended up picking us up and taking us home, and like my parents never even knew I was at that party. Like, they thought we were at my friend's house having a sleepover the whole time. And then I don't know how we got away with this because it doesn't make any sense. Because I like went over to her house and we went to this party, but her parents thought that like I was coming over for a little bit and then her sister was dropping us off at my house. And it was like super complicated. And I don't know how we got away with it because we shouldn't have, but we like went to this high school party and both got super drunk and stoned. And yeah, it was really scary and weird. And I was like 14. Super weird. Like, I had had, like, I think I had had my first kiss, like, 6 months previous to this story. Like,
wow.
So crazy.
I never drank in high school. And so, like, I didn't go to any, I was a grade A nerd. So, and by nerd, I mean just, like, that wasn't on my radar at all. So hearing about like young people getting pressured so hardcore into just like getting fucked up, I mean, it's just so wild. I mean, it's just foreign to me. That's it.
Yeah. And like I talked about, like I went to a college party that was not the same. Like I didn't get pressured and left, but it was definitely a situation where like I didn't know enough people. A lot of people were older than me. But in high school, like that was the only, and that was before I even started high school, I never went to another party like that. Like there were situations where I think like after like homecoming my junior year, I had a couple of like my friends over because my parents were out of town and we like drank a little bit of like whatever from their like liquor cabinet and we had like some Mike's Hard Lemonades. But after that party right before my freshman year, like I never really drank like that ever again until college. So it was like a really weird, it was a really weird one-off for me. It, like, I don't know. It like I know that experience happened to me, but it almost feels like it doesn't. Like it almost feels like a story. Because the rest of my high school was not like that. My middle school was definitely my most rebellious time. And then like I got in trouble a couple times in high school. Like I had a boy over a couple times when my parents were out of town senior year. Like I, you know, I did like a couple things, but nothing like that ever again.
The thing that you said about it feeling like it's like a story. And not really something that happened to you. I feel like that's like the first few times that I drank in college, like everything about those nights feels like it's not like real.
Yeah.
Like I watched it in a movie or something.
Yeah, exactly. Like I know that I experienced it. Like I saw it through my eyes. But at the same time, like I felt it does not feel real. It feels like a movie. Like it's so crazy. And a couple other times that I've drank have definitely felt like that as well. Like it's not a one-off. There's a couple times where I'm like, that, there's no way that happened. Like how could that have happened to me? How was that my life?
I think specifically about this time that we were like drinking behind a car in one of the parking lots on my college campus. And then 2 hours later, I was like smoking a cigarette for the first time. And that's the night that I started smoking cigarettes. And, like, that's just it. Like, that was just it. That was, like, the first time I smoked it. That was the start of me smoking.
I also, at that same party, was the first time I ever smoked a cigarette. I don't smoke. Like, I did it the one time, and I don't even think I smoked the whole cigarette. I literally tried so many things at that party that I forgot that I also did that.
Have you ever done anything that changed your life while drinking?
Yes, the general answer, yes. The biggest thing that stands out to me is I told my fiance that I loved them for the first time while I was drunk and also stoned. And that definitely changed my life in a good way. It also was kind of an accident. My friend, her girlfriend, and then myself and my partner were at my house. We had been out at a music festival that happens in Boise every year, and we were all a little drunk and a little stoned, and we were like laughing and joking. My friend said a funny joke, and then I like very quietly was like, haha, I love you, and was like, but I was in my partner's lap, like my head was on resting on their lap, and they're like, what? And I was like, yeah, okay, I'll say that to you. And I like kind of repeated it. And we then later had a conversation. I was like, I kind of wasn't saying that to you, but like, I guess that I also feel that way to you if you were possibly also feel that way towards me. And that's kind of how we started saying, I love you. So that was like a good situation. I don't know that I would have done that if I hadn't been drinking.
That's the cutest thing.
Oh. Yeah, it was cute. A lot of like us starting to date was like we kind of like drank together a good amount when we started dating, and now neither of us drink. I kind of was like, hey, I think I want to stop drinking, and they were like, I also think that I want to do that. So we're kind of doing it together and like exploring what that means for ourselves together, which is so nice. I think it has made it 1,000 times easier on me to have somebody doing this with me.
Yeah, that sounds really great.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, we'll come back to another gear shift of a question. Do you regret anything that you have done drunk?
Again, general answer, yes. There's nothing like specific that I can really remember. And I've never really blacked out. So I don't really mean like I don't remember doing it. I just mean like I just at this point in my life, I don't really remember anything that was like, I regret that so much. But like I used to send like a ton of like stupid drunk texts. And I had a period of time after, I think it was after like a weird breakup that I had, where I asked a couple people out like over Instagram DMs. And it was always like people I didn't really know very well. So I usually would like not get a response, or I would get like a, yeah, maybe, you know. And I definitely sent like some stupid drunk messages. I've sent really stupid drunk Snapchats. I don't have Snapchat anymore, but I'm sure there are some dumb ones. I think I even sent like some nudes over Snapchat while I was drunk, which is probably one of the stupidest things I've done while I was drinking. Cause I would not know if those were like screenshotted or like what could have happened there. And at this point in time, like whatever, if someone has nudes of me, like whatever. But I think like at the time of sending those, like I would have been horrified to know that like someone I don't remember sending something to had a photo of me naked. So I have like, of course I have like some small regrets from like things that I've done when I was drunk, but nothing crazy.
I was never a drunk texter or a drunk caller, but I was a drunk in-person confessioner, which is more immediate.
I never really did that. Because like I feel like if you send like a drunk text, like maybe people don't know you're drinking. Whereas if you do it in person, people are like, this kid's drunk. I'm going to not say shit about this later or whatever, you know? Like you can kind of get away with it a little more, I feel like.
It's so funny that that's like my MO, because I was so terrified of drunk calling people that I put my phone as far away from me as possible.
And then instead you just like did it in person.
And then instead I was like, I thank you.
Oh my God, I love that. I don't know that I ever really did anything like that in person. I don't know.
I feel like I'm an anomaly in our generation.
A little bit. Yeah. I mean, like you and I just talked about how we're like pretty tied to our phones. Yeah. So like the differences of like you doing all that in person and like knowing how tied to your phone you are. So you put it away. Whereas like me, who was like, I love my phone. I'm going to message everyone I know or like whatever. Cause I still have a lot of the people that I used to text, like, from Tinder, like, their contacts are still in my phone. Like, I am someone who, like, someone texts me one time and their contact is in my phone. So I could do so much shit, so much damage with having my phone while I'm drunk. I could do so much and cause so many issues by texting or calling. And at least texting, there's usually, like, a trail of what you've done. Whereas if I called someone, I have no idea what happened. I could have said anything.
I have drunk voicemails from other people, but there's a part of me that's always like, that'll never be me. And that's so weird.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I was not someone who would ever, I've gotten some drunk texts from like one friend. And it's always just them being like, they don't drink much at all. But when they do, I feel like they get like super sweet and super sappy. And so they'll text me and they're like, hey, like, I just want you to know, like, I really value our friendship and stuff like that. And I'm like, you are the most precious human. And I wish that's how I drunk message people. Because when I would get drunk, I would just be like, I'm horny. Like, let's go. And yeah, which is always just like, okay, calm down. Like, oh my gosh. Yeah. Also, one of my favorite things that you brought up in one of your previous episodes of this podcast is the John Mulaney bit about like, oh, I know you don't drink. Like, I have always loved that fucking bit that he has. Even like before I was sober, just like, I know you don't drink.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's so, so good.
I liked that bit so much before I stopped drinking too. And now I'm just like, it's true. Part of me was like, maybe it won't be true.
Oh God, no, it's so true. Oh God, what is it? I think he literally is like, I found this like old radish in a cupboard. It would just be good for you. And it's literally just like, why? Okay, you have your drink. I have my like glass of water, my soda, whatever. But why do I need something more? Like, it's the fact that like, I literally don't need anything more than what I have is the point that like, I'm good, you know? Yeah. Like, I know that people are usually offering when they're drunk or whatever. So they're like, well, I want it to be, it's like, they want it to be fair. And I'm like, it's fine. Like, if that ever happens to me, I'm not like, oh my gosh, shut up. Like, I'm just like, oh, thank you for like trying to accommodate me for whatever, you know? But it's just so funny every time.
I've been offered like apple juice more times than I can. And I like I don't know what it is about my friend group, but they don't strike me as apple juice drinking people. But for some reason, they always have apple juice when I'm around at a party. And I'm like, you have seltzer. I'll drink the LaCroix. Like, that's fine for me.
First off, I don't know anyone who just has, like, I don't remember the last time I had apple juice, like, in my house. Like, I don't
right?
know.
Right?
I heard that's a thing that, like, people with children have.
Yeah. And, like,
old people have. Like, that's yes! it.
It's not us.
I like apple juice. If I go out to breakfast, like maybe if I want juice, like maybe I'll get apple juice. But it's not something I keep at home.
Yeah.
Because like I'll have apple cider at home in the fall or whatever. But like that's so odd.
Right.
And like I also think it's weird because I'm like, why can I not just have like whatever mixer that you're having minus the alcohol? Because that's like that feels like normal and like chill to me. Whereas if you like find something else to offer to drink, it makes it weird in such a different way.
It's so strange the like mental gymnastics that people do.
Yeah.
Where they're like, you can't enjoy this if there's no alcohol in it. So why would we give it to you?
Yeah, I'm like, okay, that's like people drink that without alcohol. It's not like it's like fucking margarita mix or something. Like it's not like that's weird. Don't give me that. You know, I would love a Red Bull. I would love a soda. Like, can I just have this? I'm at a literal party. I don't need apple juice. I don't need a Gatorade. Like I don't. It's so funny. And like I know that people are like trying to be nice, but I feel like if they just like thought it through and like took a moment instead of just like offering whatever they had like in sight, it would be fine.
These are things that people drink. You can also drink them without liquor. Surprise. It's kind of like when people are like, I don't like vegan food or whatever, and they're like, I never eat vegan food. And you're like, what about like a salad? Or like a cucumber.
I'm like, excuse me, when was the last time you had a fucking smoothie? Like, do you have scurvy? Like, are you...
Like, are you okay? Are your bones okay? Like, what's happening?
Like, do you just eat fucking meat sandwiches? Fuck. It's super funny, but like on topic, my partner and I have for the last like 2-ish weeks have also been eating vegan. And I'm like,
am I just forcing my friends away from me? Like, I don't drink. I only eat vegan food. And I, like, very loosely. Like, I'm still, like, I have, like, Nutella that has, like, milk, whatever. Like, so I'm, like, very loosely eating vegan. But, like, for the most part, like, that's what we're doing. And I am like, okay, when this is all over and I officially am probably vegan and, like, can't have food otherwise because it will destroy my body. Like, I can't have dairy and meat because it'll ruin me. Are my friends going to like me? Like, if we can't go get alcohol, how are we going to get milkshakes now? They're going to be like, damn, can't hang out with you. Sorry.
So I can't eat dairy and I also don't drink. And so people will be like, oh, do you want to come out for pizza and beer with us? And I'm like, no. People will be like, oh, do you want to come to this place? They have great cheese boards. Like, you can have a cheese board. And I'm like, guess who can't eat that is me.
Because I just am going to be like, okay, guess we can only hang out before like 4 p.m. and we just have to get coffee or whatever. Like, it just has to be that. Or I'll be like, hey, you should come over. I'm going to cook food. And it'll be like chill because it's obviously food I can have. And like, I'll be like, yeah, if you want alcohol, bring alcohol, whatever. If not, I have weed. So, you know, and like, at the same time, like, I have friends who don't smoke. So I'm like, oh, now this is going to be weird for both of us. Like,
I'd say like the weirdest thing about not drinking and also having a dietary restriction is like that moment when you have to be like, maybe you just come to my house. Like, maybe we don't go to a restaurant. Like, we both live in cities that are like, I know Boise is like smaller than New York.
Yes.
But I feel like you still have like a lot of like restaurants and coffee shops and like places to go.
For sure. I mean, Boise is not New York, but we're a city, you know, and I'm not far from downtown. So.
And like New York is so like, I've mentioned this a million times in the first few episodes of this podcast, but the number one thing that people ask me to do when they want to hang out with me is like, do you want to go get a drink? And or do you want to go out to dinner after work? So it's like dinner or drinks or just like normal. And it's going out. Whenever I hear that now, I have like a little bit of panic of like, do you just want to come back to Bushwick? And like, I'll make you like a kale salad.
That's sometimes like depending on like who it is, like if it's someone I'm close friends with, like I would so rather just have them come over. If we're still trying to figure it out, like I would much rather be like, hey, come over, I'll cook us dinner, we'll get a little stoned and then we'll go out dancing, you know, or like I'll get stoned and you'll drink or whatever, like, you know, I would so much rather just be like, come over where we're both comfortable. Like, I'm someone who like, I'm like, I love my home, come hang out in my house, you know. It is sometimes weird being like, oh, do you want to come over? And like, I cannot imagine trying to like date in this, like, but like in being sober and also having a dietary restriction. Just like,
people are like, do you want to go get pizza? And I'm like, yes, but it'll make me sick. Like that.
You're like, I would love to, but I cannot. Like,
and I also like, I have to like regulate my sugar intake because sugar gives me migraines sometimes if I have too much of it, because my body hates me and my enjoyment of life and food. So even when people are like, oh, like if you don't want to do pizza, maybe we can like get ice cream or something, like I know, like go to like Van Leeuwen's, which is like this place that has like vegan ice cream in Brooklyn. They have vegan ice cream and then they also have vegan whipped cream and vegan hot fudge, so you can get like a hot fudge sundae. It's literally like the best place on earth. I love it so much. It's so expensive, obviously.
There's a little like fast food place that's not that far from my house, and I've gone there since I was like a child, and they within the last like year or so started having, they're like, oh, we have vegan milkshakes now, like we have fucking Beyond Burgers. And I'm like, oh my god, I love you. And the vegan milkshakes are, they're like $6 for like a fucking 12-ounce milkshake, but they're so good. Yes, there are vegan options in Boise, but it's usually like, hey, here's a vegan restaurant, or like these two places have vegan options. Like, there's a little less variety here.
Yeah.
So to have a place that's like, hey, we have this and we're also like a normal fast food place, I'm like, perfect, I can go there with all of my friends until we get sick of it. Great.
Yeah. That's Van Leeuwen's for me, because I can always be like, we can get ice cream there because I can get ice cream there. But literally, it's just like dating and having dietary restrictions and not drinking is like being like, do you want to go get a black coffee with me? Because that's all that we can do at 3 in the afternoon. or like figuring out things that we can do just to hang out that aren't food centric. Like the social narrative of dating is like really food centric, really drinking centric.
Absolutely. I like obviously haven't like dated in a long time, but like if like my partner and I are like, oh, we're gonna have like a date night or whatever, like we're going to get food. Like that's what it is, even now. And like sometimes like we are also like we'll go to a movie or like a play or whatever, but it's usually just like dates usually just mean like, okay, where do we want to eat, and then what do we want to do after we eat? Like
it's really interesting because the person that I was dating before this pandemic hit, he, when first presented with me and my tons of restrictions, like our first date, we were gonna go see a movie. Okay, so our dates have been like movies and like concerts and more movies. Like they've been like activities, and I feel like it's been really good, but it's also us being like, we have to sit down and talk over a meal at some point. Like
it's hard because those activities are awesome and like you can like bond over things, but at the same time like you're not getting to know each other, and so you could be like having all these cool bonding experiences and then not fucking like each other, and then just have this weird emotional attachment to them though because you had all these great experiences that are tied to each other. That's crazy. That's blowing my mind.
We have now rectified that. We have had many dinner-y type things. They're definitely like, read the menu before we go. No, we can't go get pizza. We still can't go get pizza.
Obviously, and like literally getting married, but like our first date was so good. It was like an 8-hour long date. We went and got coffee, and then we went to like a thrift store, and then we went and walked their dog, and then just like hung out at their house for a couple hours, and then we went and got food, and then we like went back to my house and hung out for a little while. And it was like the craziest, like longest date ever. That was great because we just talked for like 8 fucking hours straight. And we would have hung out for longer too. But I had plans with one of my friends. We were going to watch Eclipse, the Twilight movie. And I was like, well, I can't bail on that. So I have to go. I'm so sorry. And I literally was like, hey, I have to watch one of the Twilight movies with one of my friends. So I'm going to have to drop you off. And it was great. And I was like, cool.
If you drink or used to drink, what did you do to stay safe while you're drinking?
So when I used to drink, some things that I would do to stay safe while I was out drinking, biggest thing was never leave my drink, which surprisingly is something I never applied to myself. At parties, it was only when I was out at bars. I would never drink by myself. I would always go out in a group. It was at minimum 2 people, myself and someone else, but usually we would go out in groups of 3 to 4. I kind of made myself always the one in charge of either calling lifts, or I was super often the designated driver. I lived not too far from downtown, so I would either have everyone meet me at my house, and then I would drive everyone down, make sure I didn't drink enough, or like didn't drink too much prior to like 2 a.m. so I could drive everyone home, or I would drive to like my friend who lived downtown's house, and then from there we would walk downtown and then drive back to my car, or like walk back to my car or whatever. But I'm like such a planner that I would always make sure that I like had a way for us to get home, and I was always kind of watching everyone's drinks and just tried to stay as aware as possible. Like I would make sure everyone like either finished their drinks before we went and danced, so we didn't have to leave any or like stuff like that. When I was out drinking, I was always super like aware of what was going on and just was like really on top of it. Whereas like if I went to a party, I was like, fuck it, like whatever, you know, like I usually would also plan like a ride situation, but like I always was so careful when I went out drinking, and then not careful at all when I was at a party. I'm definitely just realizing that now after like doing this podcast with you and like kind of going over those conversations, whereas like the ones, like the situations where I was like more uncomfortable was when I was like at someone's house and not out downtown where there were tons of people. I was definitely more unsafe when it was like a private kind of situation, whereas like out at bars, like I was always safe, always like kind of knew what was going on.
I feel very similarly that I like at parties, I was always the most like whatever. At bars, I was always like hyper vigilant, and like I think it should have been the reverse. If you quit drinking, which you have because you are sober from alcohol, do you ever think about drinking again?
There are times where I think about drinking again, especially because I am getting married later this year, I hope, unless the pandemic continues. But as of right now, I am still getting married later this year. I feel like people have expected me to drink with them to celebrate or expecting me to drink at my bachelorette party or even at the wedding itself. And it's kind of extra hard to say no in those situations. Part of it is because I care a lot what people think of me, and a lot of the people who will be in those situations aren't sober. And so it could possibly cause some discomfort in those social situations, which is hard because I want it to be such a fun celebratory time. So it makes me feel like I need to be making everyone comfortable so that it's a fun experience for everyone. So I guess I think about drinking in those situations to kind of please everyone, even though I know that it's just going to make me mad or upset that I did drink. When I think about drinking or possibly drinking again, it's always as some sort of like special occasion. Like I think about possibly drinking at my wedding. The more I think about it, the less I want to do it. I think that it's because I know it's obviously going to be a very special time in my life. It's my wedding. And I don't want to taint that with, oh, I was sober and then at my wedding I drank and now I'm sober again, or however that would be. So I guess things might change when it gets closer to all those occasions. I don't think like my bridal shower and my bachelorette party aren't going to be for a while with everything going on, and they haven't been planned at all yet. So I don't know like how that's going to go. So I have time to think about it, but I just don't think it's something I want to do. And I don't know how to go about talking about how I don't want to do that beforehand. Like my bridal party is all like people that I'm really close to and like love, but it's also like my sister had a baby pretty recently, so she doesn't really drink as much anymore, but like she drank a lot at like her bachelorette party and her wedding. So I just think like, oh, well, is that what's expected of me? And like my maid of honor is someone who like goes out and drinks a lot and like parties and like goes out dancing. So I'm like, is that what's going to be expected of me? And like, is that what I should be doing? Brings up a lot of conflicting opinions within myself and like what I want to do versus what's expected of me. Because I know that I don't just want to do what's expected of me, but it just almost feels like I need to. Yeah. So my parents both drink at like social situations like that. So I know like they're going to probably drink at my wedding. And with that, like, I don't know. It's brought up so many different thoughts of like, okay, well, then do we even want to have a bar, or do we still want to have an open bar like we thought we did when we were still drinking? Like, what does that mean for us? Like, what is drinking going to look like at our wedding, like the wedding of two people who don't drink?
I am not getting married anytime soon, but this is something I think about all the time, is like at my wedding, my future wedding, will I serve alcohol? Like at my, like if I choose to have kids one day, like at my kids' weddings, will I be drinking? At my sister's wedding, will I drink? When my sister just got engaged, like if she gets married and has like an open bar at her wedding, like am I supposed to like take part in all of that? Or like when people do toasts, am I so sober that I don't even get a glass of champagne? Like, do I get a glass of something else? Like, and it makes me question how dedicated my like not drinking I am, like how far do I take it? And I think like it's sort of like I one time we do sometimes at my company like all these happy hours and whatever, but also when people leave, if they're like well liked enough by the team, we'll do like champagne toast send offs. And I will literally hold like a water bottle in one hand and a cup of coffee in the other. And I'm just like, sorry, I can't hold that glass of champagne. I'm going to toast with this cup of coffee. And I've had people go like, that's bad luck. And I'm like, not everybody here drinks. So
I don't think people would say that if it was like, I'm an alcoholic. You know what I mean? People would be like, oh, shit. Yeah. But it's like that level of like, hey, I don't drink. But I don't drink because I don't like the way it makes me feel. And I think that it could become something that's a much bigger issue in the future of my life. But since I'm so young, and since like it doesn't seem like it to other people that it's like as big of an issue, like people are going to say stuff like that and be like, well, it's bad luck for you not to like have champagne on like your wedding night or whatever, you know? And it's because I don't know where I stand on that either. Like, I think a big part of that is I started to become sober after I got engaged. So it's created a different, it's just such a different dynamic, I think is what it is. Yeah.
like, not only do I not know how to navigate it, but there's no way anyone else knows how to navigate it. So, like, where's the line of, like, oh, well, do you give, like, who gets champagne and who gets whatever? Like, do I want a singular glass of champagne on, like, my wedding night or something like that? Which, maybe. I don't know. Who knows? And like you said, like, your sister's wedding, your child's wedding. Like, it's always these big life experiences.
It's like choosing to be vegan, which I've been vegan in the past, and I have, because of health reasons, ironically, I had to stop being vegan and may one day return to it once I, like, actually do my research and don't have a giant B12 deficiency because I don't know how to take supplements. But when I was vegan, I was always faced with moments where I was like, with my dietary restrictions, right? Like, they're not so bad. I don't have allergies. When I eat dairy, I'm lactose intolerant and it's a migraine trigger. So, like, I could eat dairy, you know?
It's just going to, like, cause severe uncomfort.
Yeah. And it could give me, like, 2 days of pain. Like, that's, like, it's like I'm bargaining for whatever is happening in the moment. And, like, the like, weird thing about it is, even in those moments where I'm like, do I eat this dairy or do I, like, not have a migraine? I'm still like, how dedicated am I to this whole not eating dairy thing? Like, at my wedding, will I eat dairy? I mean, with alcohol, it's so much more of, like, societal pressure and less, like, a joke like I'm making it into now. This is the real question. It's like, how dedicated are you to imposing your, what it feels like imposing your choices on other people? Like, how dedicated are you to, like, making yourself a little bit more difficult, which sucks to think about, but like not drinking and having people expect you to drink and then having them have to, like, just figure out how to deal with it is difficult. It's the same thing when you have a dietary restriction and people expect you to eat, like, you're at, like, a third grader's birthday party and you're like, sorry,
I can't do that. Like, I'm making decisions for myself. I cannot do that. It's so interesting and difficult. And I think my biggest concern a lot of times comes from, like, my parents. Like, their opinions are usually so different from mine that I'm like, okay, well, what are they going to think? Because if they think that, people will either think how I think or they do. So, like, those are the people that are coming to my wedding or will be at this situation or whatever. And I'm like, okay, well, I have to think about, like, every possible outcome of, like, what people could think about this. I want so badly to just be able to, like, do whatever I want and not care what other people think to an extent. You know, like, obviously, like, I'm not trying to, like, do damage and, like, be a shitty person, but, like, I don't want to have to be like, oh, like, what are people gonna think if I wear these earrings or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, that's stuff that goes through my head. Like, it's, I mean, that's just amplified in situations like this.
When I go to parties, I'm just like, I have my water, don't worry about me. So there's, yeah, like, literally nobody can have the discussion with me. Like, I am like, I don't drink and I already have my thing and you don't have to take care of me, and that is okay. Like, I don't give people the opportunity to, like, fulfill the John Mulaney joke anymore. I'm just like, I brought my own. Like, I one time went to a party that I knew was gonna go really late. It was in a neighborhood of New York that takes me an hour and a half to get to from my neighborhood, because of course it does, because it's New York and it doesn't make any sense. Driving is 15 minutes, but it takes an hour and a half on the way. But I knew it was gonna go really late. And so for the first time in, like, 5 years, I bought a Red Bull. Because I was like, ooh, this is, like, a special drink, you know? Like, yeah, sometimes, yeah, it's just like a special drink. Like, water just won't cut it. So I was like, I'm going to bring this can of Red Bull to the party. And I showed up and I was like, I am drinking this. And they were all like, yes, you are. But it's like, it's because I took care of myself and I don't give people the opportunity because I feel like I feel like they're going to think that I'm an imposition if they have to take care of me at all. And that's so silly. Like,
like, and it's just like, god damn it, like, why do I care so much? Like, I am like social distancing, self-isolating, whichever is the right term at this point. So I see no one but my partner and my four cats. I have two cats, two dogs, my four pets. But I still care about what I look like. And I'm like, why do I give a shit? Like, it's something that's so hard to get past.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining me and sharing.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me and creating this
outlet for yourself and others to kind of talk about this.
Talking with you has been super cathartic and good, and I'm really glad that you are the first person.
Thank you.
Thank you again to Taylor for a great conversation. We recorded this in March of 2020, and since then, a lot has happened in the United States. And so I just wanted to spend a few minutes at the end of this episode to talk a tiny bit about alcohol and race. Marketing in the alcohol industry, much like the tobacco industry, is often targeted by race and economic class. All too often, Black people and people of color struggling with alcohol dependence or alcoholism who are also living in segregated low-income areas do not have the same resources, time, or money available to them to seek help, and we've seen that amplified in the heroin and opiate use epidemic in the United States, where white people struggling with addiction are painted as sympathetic in the media, while Black people, sometimes regardless of their economic class, are portrayed as incapable and criminal. Drug and alcohol use has always been viewed through a different lens for white people, who are less likely to be arrested for being drunk and disorderly, less likely to be pulled over by the police for seemingly random drug searches, and less likely to be imprisoned for alcohol or drug possession and use overall. I'm trying to educate myself more on these issues, and there might be a full episode coming up about it, but for now, I'll ask all of my white listeners to please do your research and educate yourselves on how to be actively anti-racist, especially as it pertains to drug and alcohol use in the United States. Thanks for listening. My name's Izzy D'Esposito. I record, edit, and produce this podcast. If you want to follow us on social media, you can find the podcast on Instagram at @lowercasesober. Resources are in the description of this episode if you or a loved one is struggling with alcohol dependence. Sending lots of love. I honestly didn't think I'd have to record this segment yet, so I'm really happy to thank and shout out our first two Patreon members, Taylor and Allie. Thank you so much for supporting the podcast. If you want to join them and also get a shout out at the end of every Lowercase Sober episode, you can do so by going to patreon.com/lowercasesober. Thank you, thank you, thank you for supporting. I'll see you next week. Bye.